also want other people who are not sommeliers or who aren't in the food and wine beverage industry to feel comfortable going into a shop or a restaurant and like seeing a wine list and being like, oh, okay, like I know some of these.
I feel like all these sommeliers are now rushing to have their job description changed to wine shaman.
I'm so happy and excited about because it's gone from living online to now in-person event.
Welcome back to Kitchen Tape. I'm Rose Weil.
And I'm Cassie Mendieta. And today we are joined by
Andrea of Mas Fino Please. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm Andrea. I am an LA-based wine curator, content creator, and a non-som. Honestly, I'm honored. I'm so excited. Oh. Yes. No, really. I am such a fan, so I'm like...
Yeah. And, well, and I too.
Yeah, so thank you. But yeah. I also, like, I love the podcasting world, and I have my own little podcast. Ooh, but I'm never on the other side. So this is like, I'm so honored to be like asked to be on the podcast.
What's it called? What's your podcast?
My podcast is called Mas Fino Please the Podcast.
Easy. Yeah. Easy to remember. Mas Fino Please the Podcast.
Yes.
Amazing. Cool. Well, I'm so excited to have you here. I think it's fun to be on both sides of the chair. So
yeah, I'm so excited.
We're honored. You're honored. And tonight we're going to be full of wine and chocolate. We'll see chocolate.
So tell us a little about yourself.
I don't really know where to put myself in the world of wine. I started on TikTok just kind of sharing my own wine reviews of wines that I was buying at the time. And then that kind of like turned into wine education because folks were asking me, well, what does this mean? What does that mean? And then from there, it just kind of grew into this real life community, which I'm so happy and excited about because it's gone from living online to now in-person events and meetups and things like that. So yeah, I guess I'm a content creator and wine experience maker.
And curator. No,
and curator. And curator. Yeah.
Okay. So what is for you a great wine? Like, what is sort of your perspective on wine and the wines you started first sharing, you know, like why?
A great wine for me is a wine that really expresses the terroir, which for those who aren't familiar with wine, the terroir is like the geological makeup and place where the wine was grown and made. And so for me, a really great wine really expresses the land where it came from. And so I love to highlight wines that are made with care, that are made with minimal or low intervention. This is also known as like, could be known as a natural wine.
Natty
wine. Yes, a natty wine, yeah. A natural wine. There's a general understanding that they are low or minimal intervention wines, meaning there is a lot of care in the vineyard, but not a lot of synthetic chemicals used in the vineyard. So they're relying on like organic methods of caring for the grapes and producing the vines. And then once those grapes get picked and then taken to the cellar, there is very little intervention in the winemaking process. It's not to say that the wine just like goes and does its own thing because it definitely needs to be guided by the winemaker. Some folks believe that no sulfur is the only way to call a wine natural, but other people like myself believe that there's a spectrum of, I think, what natural wine can be. So I try to show people that. And so those are the wines that I love are wines that kind of embody those values, but also are just like really beautiful expressions of technique by different winemakers. And if they're doing something unique and different, I love to showcase that. So that's what I was showing on TikTok originally was like, I would go to the wine shop and I would get a wine from somewhere kind of obscure to me at the time, at least it was obscure because I was kind of just learning about wine and and just showing people like, oh, this is a wine from Georgia, the country,
Georgia,
not the state.
Yes.
So things like that. Yeah. That's kind of like how I sort of started to carve that path.
I just want to know her favorite wine stores in LA. Like, which ones were you frequenting during that time?
Okay. Oh, yeah, that's a great
question. Then it's your
turn. That's a great question. Well, so when I first really got into wine, it was peak quarantine 2020. And I don't know if you all know the Italian restaurant Taroni.
Yeah.
No.
It's like, I think there's one on Beverly. There's one on Beverly, but there was a second location right in downtown, and it was right next to my house. And attached to that, it was called like Dopo Lavoro, I think. And they had a little wine and cheese and dry goods store. So I was buying wine there. I would go in and be like, oh, we're making pasta tonight. So like, what could you recommend with like this sauce? And then I just talked to the shopkeeper. Mm-hmm. And then he'd mention things like, oh, this is biodynamic, or this is carbonic maceration. And I was like, I don't know.
I don't know what I'm looking for.
Yeah, I was like, okay. So then I would go home and be like, okay, he said carbonic maceration. And I would go on my computer and be like, okay, what is carbonic maceration?
So
what
nice to is... have the library at our fingertips.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. So part of it was like, okay, I want to know what I'm talking about when I go in there. But I also wasn't afraid to ask him questions either. The guy was really nice. His name was Robin. I don't know where he is now because they closed that Taroni, unfortunately. But also at that same time, Good Luck Wine in Pasadena had just opened. And I'm originally from Pasadena. And so I was like,
local girl.
Yes, yes. So I was like, I have to support my local Pasadena shops. And so, yeah, so I almost exclusively shopped there. I'm still part of the wine club there. Kate, who's the owner and curator of the shop, just has the best most exciting taste in wine to me because she really wants to showcase wines that have really amazing stories or producers that are doing really amazing things. And so she kind of puts that at the forefront. You can still find like the more common bottles of wine that you might find in most of LA, but she really tries to also highlight and curate more obscure wines, but also not obscure in that like they're super funky, weird, mm-hmm. out there wines, mm-hmm. just like wines that maybe you wouldn't naturally grab off the shelf, but she wants you to like learn about the story of this person because like maybe they're doing something really cool. So in
she's
Italy.
Very invested also.
Super invested in like the winemakers and like the stories of the wines.
Very cool.
Yeah. So those were like my two like intro shops. Mm-hmm. But I do love like if I'm in the neighborhood.
That intro shops. When you're like, ready for more, come back to me for class 102.
No, those were my intro shops. Like that's where I started exploring wine. Mm. But
so these were some teachers for you, essentially.
Definitely. Kate, for sure, from Good Luck Wine was like, I've had her on my podcast and I say that she's my wine shaman. Because I really feel like she's not trying to push wine on to anyone, but she really empowered me, I think, and really opened my mind to a lot of wines and exploration. That's why I love her wine club so much, because it's always something that I would have never picked for myself, but I end up falling in love with the producer or the type of wine. So yeah, I love her.
That's
yeah.
very cool.
I hope
cool.
you're hearing this, Kate.
I feel like all these sommeliers are now rushing to have their job description changed to wine shaman.
Yeah.
Like we're gonna see a whole lot of that. We just set a trend.
Just Instagram
sure.
bios.
Yeah.
All wine
yeah.
shamans.
Brought to you by TikTok star Andrea Mastino, please. Well, I basically just wanted to know a little more about your background in education. Like you've touched a little on how you learned about wine. And I'd love to hear more stories about people because it does seem like such a community and yes. also just how you taught yourself during that time. But feel free to take us back to daycare if you're so moved.
I have no formal wine education at all. I didn't even work in a restaurant to learn wine.
Just everything, love of the game.
Yeah. Really. Like everything I know about wine is self-taught, entirely self-taught, whether that's through chatting with people who work in wine shops or winemakers or just people who work, sommeliers, people who work in wine. But also I read a lot. I try to read a lot of wine books as much as I can. And then also I'm just not afraid to like do a lot of online research. And I try to find as many articles as I can or bios on producers or bios on types of wines and things like that to just sort of learn. So I like to call myself a non-somm because I think everyone has this sort of like perception of what wine education or wine industry is, and for the most part it is a very exclusive, hard to enter arena, and there's a lot of people who will make you feel like you don't know what you're talking about. And that has definitely happened to me, and I'm sure it's happened to a lot of people. Mm. But I feel confident in my knowledge. Like I feel really comfortable in what I know. And if I don't know something, I'm gonna admit that I don't know it or go teach myself it or ask someone about it. I admit I am not a sommelier. I totally respect sommeliers, and I think they do like so much work. They know a lot more than I do in many cases. But I also want other people who are not sommeliers or who aren't in the food and wine beverage industry to feel comfortable going into a shop or a restaurant and like seeing a wine list and being like, oh, okay, like I know some of these. I can talk about wine or I can pick a wine and feel comfortable and confident. Yeah. And so that's kind of what I try to do, you know? as like a non-som. I want to show people like you can also learn all this information. I learned it all myself. It is not in some big special book that you have to like pay for like or do.
I mean, right, but that like, is how it's sold to you, right?
Yeah, yeah,
like, you need to pass a test.
Or you need like a golden key.
There's only one right answer.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's so complicated. How could you ever begin, honey?
Right, exactly. And it's like, it's at literally at everyone's fingertips if you just... Google.
Yeah.
Google a lot of No, and I will say that, you know, a lot of it comes with experience too. Like, just go drink a lot of wine. You will learn.
There you go. That's a great career path, right?
Yeah.
Step one, drink a lot of wine. Step two, read about it if you're still conscious.
Yeah. No, and I think the difference is like, and you can read everything there is to know about wine for sure, but there is a big piece of it that comes from experience and comes from drinking different types of wines and learning what you like and what you don't like and why does this grape taste different than this grape or this method versus this method as you drink wines and like taste different wines and then couple that with information you can start to be like, oh, okay, like I'm making connections here, like this method of aging in oak gives this flavor and that's why this wine tastes like this but this wine doesn't because it wasn't aged in oak.
I think that's a really great point, just the fact that like there's another way to slice the pie of all the wine knowledge and make yourself very informed while still not feeling like you have to learn everything, which is just like, it is totally fine to learn only about what you like.
Yeah.
But stay curious about other things.
Exactly.
Because ultimately you're buying wine for yourself and maybe your friends. So if you just learn about natural wine because you like the taste of that, there's so much there to learn. And fun to have. So I think that's another, like, you don't have to learn all of music. You can just learn the music you like.
Right. You know? Exactly. Exactly. I'm sure there is no one in the world who knows every single thing there is to know about wine.
Or anything.
Or anything. Anything. I feel like you think like, if I want to do this, that's what you have to do. And I think it stops a lot of people.
I'm just wondering, like, through all of this, you've obviously established like a great community of like followers online, the people that you're meeting like in the wine shops, the people that you're learning from. How did you really hone in on cultivating that community?
Well, part of it was I started kind of in the peak of TikTok. I was really reluctant to be on TikTok. And then I really didn't actually start making videos until like end of 2020. And so I also think that I was maybe one of, if not the first, person to make a video about orange wine that then went viral. I was making arepas at the same time and I was drinking an orange wine, and I did like a quick little super random video and it went viral because I was making videos before that, but none of them were really like going viral or hitting super hard. And then that one did. And then like after that, people started asking more questions. Can you recommend a wine here? Or what does this mean? What does that mean? So it kind of went from there. I did my first in-person event with Good Clean Fun in downtown LA, and so many people came out for it, and I was like someone came from San Diego.
Aww.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was, I know.
We love travel for wine.
We love the pilgrims.
No, I really, I was like, wow, like, this is so sick. Also, we're coming, like, off the tail of quarantine, right? So, like, people
are, like,
want,
desperate for...
Totally.
Yeah.
The connection, and wanted to take their relationships from online into
to
the
IRL.
Real world.
IRL.
Yeah, exactly.
They wanted to get serious about it.
So, yeah, so that was really cool. And so after about a year of making videos, I started doing the in-person events, and I would do like flight curations. So that one specifically at Good Clean Fun, I curated 5 wines. They were woman-owned or woman-produced wines based in California. But people were coming with like 10 tops. I had to remember, I was like, okay, who's on what glass?
Yeah.
And then, of course, because I like have to do the most all the time, I was like, I'm going to give a small speech on every single wine so that people know what they're drinking.
Amazing.
Which
Dinner and a show.
Totally. So like I had to, my voice at the end of it, I was like, oh, I'm so exhausted. It was crazy, but it was super fun. And I was like, wow, I like working the floor, and I could see people's connection and reaction to the wine and to Mos Vino and all of the things. And so I was just like, yeah, like this is cool. That's how the community sort of started. And like I said, since then, it's just been a lot of events, a lot of videos online. I produce a party with my fiance called Buns and Vino.
Buns and Vino.
Yeah.
What are the buns?
The buns are Colombian hot dogs.
Ooh.
Yes. Yeah.
And when's the next
one? Yeah.
Like, so it's once a year in the summer. I get a lot of requests. I've had people be like, do it in Chicago, do it in New York.
Yeah, okay, let's make everyone jealous. Tell us what a Colombian hot dog is.
Okay. So this is my favorite question. A Colombian hot dog is a very common street food, specifically in like Medellin, but also like all around Colombia, where it's just like it's a huge loaded hot dog. So the toppings typically include cheese, shredded lettuce, sometimes it could have bacon or even like a little bit of meat. Quail egg is in there.
Oh.
Yeah, pineapple sauce, this like pink sauce, it's kind of like Thousand Island-ish. And then it's topped with potato chips.
Oh,
yeah. Or fosforitos. I don't know. They're like little like shoestring potatoes.
Oh, I love those.
They're really good. Yeah. But it also kind of depends on like where you're at. They might do it differently.
Yeah. And it's a hot dog, not a sausage.
It's a hot dog. Yeah. Yeah. It's just a regular old like Hebrew national dog on a regular ass bun. It's like not a baguette or anything. Like it's just like, but then they load it with so much stuff you can't even see like what's underneath. I was like, I don't know if LA is prepared for that. So let's do like a pared back farmer's market version, because Matt's food is very farmer's market forward. And he has like a lot of amazing chef skill that I obviously don't have. So I was like, do your chef things like on these hot dogs.
And so what are his chef things? Like what's your version?
For the first event, we did three different hot dogs. One of them was, he called it the farmer's market dog, which was a fermented pepper sauce. But then he also had grilled peppers, fermented green tomato, but then also had fresh heirloom tomato, tomato-y, peppery, kind of like a Chicago dog-ish, sort of, but like more LA farmer's market. The other one we called the cat dog because we have two cats. It was inspired by like an LA street dog. So
why
like,
cat dog and not hot cat?
Oh, that's a good, I don't know, because of the show? Threw me off with that one.
I mean, I think I asked that on behalf of everyone.
Hot cat. Wait, no, next year we'll do a hot cat.
I love it. Okay, so what's on the cat dog hot cat?
That one's like more a play on a like LA dog.
Like the bacon.
Bacon, peppers, things like that. And then the Colombian dog, we did homemade Weiser potato chips, purple potatoes.
Yum.
Really delish as our potato chips. I think it had like avocado. We made a pineapple sauce.
Oh, thank God. I was getting really worried.
We definitely had the pineapple sauce. Potato chips. I think that was it. I can't remember. I feel like I'm missing one more ingredient on that one.
It sounds delicious.
It was really great.
Pair like specific wines with each hot dog?
So
what did you...
I had a 4-wine lineup. Mm-hmm. They were all intended. I figured people are going to go for like probably
what
all
want,
the wines.
Yeah.
That was the idea.
All
like,
the wines.
Come thirsty. Yeah. So I had like 4 really refreshing wines that could like pair really well with these dogs, like more easygoing wines. It was also super
any of them
hot.
Though not like one not goes the, with
okay.
one
no yeah and you could pick whatever
approachable.
Pick your poison
approachable.
yeah I always make sure if I'm doing a lineup there's like a bubbly, an orange or a white, a chilled red, and then like another one that could either be more orange or maybe it's a rosé or something like that. I always try to like make a variety of wines or include a variety of wines. You show up, you get your hot dog, you get your glass of wine, and then it's just all old school reggaeton blasting through the speakers.
Love it.
Yeah, we are going to the
and it becomes...
Yeah, so this is a summer event, right?
Yes, it's a summer event.
We are invited.
Totally, absolutely. This last year, I did the same event, but in collaboration with Género Neutral, which is a shop on Sunset in Echo Park. They are two friends of mine, and they're really amazing. And one of the owners is also Colombian. So we were like, let's do this party together. So we just did it outside their shop. It was incredible, and it just became this huge block party, like 200 people.
We had an old school block party.
It was really fun. It was really amazing. So we were just like pouring wine, and we had another friend who makes arepas, so she had a stand there. She was doing arepas, Matt was doing his hot dogs. An agua fresca man came by because saw that there was like a ton of people, and so
like
he posted up.
A business opportunity.
He posted up with
agua
fresca.
An entrepreneur who like sees the moment and seizes it.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Also,
it was really cool.
Frescas. I kind of ask, like, how do you feel about the non-alcoholic wine movement?
I don't drink them because I drink just regular wine for my education purposes. but I have tried some of the non-alc ones or like the alcohol removed ones. I've had some that are really good. Some that were like, meh, they were okay. I think if that's like what you prefer, I think you should go for it. If I'm going to get like technical with like natural wines and stuff, like I guess it can't really be a natural wine because it has a lot of intervention, I guess. But also like, I don't think there's anything wrong with them. Yeah.
I love adult juice.
Yeah. That's how I think about them because I don't drink. And I've had non-alcoholic wines, and I'm like, this is just, like, fancy tea.
Yeah.
A $30 bottle of... I always feel so duped after I've drank.
Yeah.
Like, they're good, but I'm like, I literally could have just brewed tea and, like, put a little sugar in there and called it a day and not spent money on a bottle. But it's, like, it's also the experience, though. Like,
yeah.
Of having this bottle and being like, I'm still participating.
I just feel like getting older, I don't miss the hangover I often experience with any kind of alcohol. So
yeah,
I'm like, I'm here for this complex juice I did not have to make.
Yeah, totally. Have you heard of the one called Heirloom? But maybe they changed their name.
I don't think so.
It's based in Brooklyn or somewhere. Yeah, I think it's based in Brooklyn. And it's kombucha. But it's not...
Love kombucha.
Yeah, but they package it in this, like, really beautiful wine bottle with, like, a wine label. And it's intended to be, like, a non-alcohol alternative to wine. I haven't tried them yet, but I've seen them and I've been following them for a really long time. And I'm like, okay, I mean, it's kombucha, so I guess at the end of the day, we're in LA, we can buy kombucha anywhere. But, but like, this one I love. Like, this is a good alternative or to take to someone or to take to dinner.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, opening a bottle of Health Aid at the dinner table might be... less sexy than opening a bottle of this heirloom thing.
Right.
It's like beautiful.
You know, yeah, it's like, I feel really like beautiful. When you're a kid, you had so many options, like juice boxes, Capri Sun, and then you get to be an adult and it's like, well, will you have water or?
Yeah. Do you like Gia?
Yeah, I like Chia.
I've never had
Chia's good. Some flavors more than others, but like, isn't that true of anything? It's just your taste.
Yeah. I like Chia too. And that one I'll like, if I'm in like Wine and Eggs or somewhere, I'll just like buy one and drink it in the car.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. They're like nice little mocktail-ish.
Yeah, it's like a tonic, really.
Yeah.
You know, and I think I really love seeing it expand across the board at restaurants too, because again, it was like, if you didn't want wine or a cocktail, your options were like the Pericone water in the back.
Right.
Something that's been sitting around forever, or water. And now that like so many places are investing in an NA, it's not like, oh, well, I can pour you a mix without the alcohol. And like, it really matters because that's another ingredient. Like, I think it's really cool to see this whole like other area of things that we can drink.
I think I appreciate the more mocktail approach, like the Gias and these other tonic-y type of drinks, than like maybe the alcohol removed wine.
I would totally agree.
I would rather have like a fun textural and like multi-layered drink than like a wine that's not
I want something
wine.
Cloudy. I would like sediment.
Well,
it seems like you're doing pop-ups all the time. Do you have any other cool events coming up?
I do. Ooh. I have a couple. Yeah.
Okay, everyone grab your calendar.
One of my like kind of regular tasting gigs or event gigs I do is at Il Cafe, which is also a neighbor location of mine. It's really truly like a third space, which I really love, in downtown. It's a cafe in the Eastern Standard Building. That's right at the entrance of the building.
You say it's a third space?
Yeah.
What is a third space?
Oh.
I like don't know how to properly explain it, but essentially it is a place that is not home and it's not work, that you also just like go to hang out or like just be without like the pressure of this is for work, this is for chill. So like places like a coffee shop could essentially be a third place where you're just like going to be,
or like a park square.
Or like
Washington Square Park has like that like area where like people hang out,
where people just go to hang out and there's
spending money.
Necessarily not, it's not like a pay to play.
Even at like Il Cafe, you like you don't have to buy anything there. You could just go and chill.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Ladies, like, thank you for teaching me.
Yeah. Like you said, it's really popular in Europe, specifically like very European concept. And the owner is from Sweden. And so I think he really, you know, created a space that really feels like a piece of, could be some corner in New York City, or it could be some plaza in Europe somewhere. But he does a really great job of like just making that for the community. Most of the people that are there either live in downtown or work in downtown and want somewhere to hang before or after work. And they have a beer and wine license. So they also serve beer and or wine. Every like so many months, like every 2 months, I'll do a Thursday night tasting night with them. So I'll curate 3 wines. And they usually have a food truck or a chef doing some kind of small pop-up where they just are serving something easy. And and then it's just like a fun hang, like from 6 to 9, and I curate some fun wines, And yeah, there's a couple that are in the works for like collab opportunities, like another one I'm going to hopefully do with Género Neutral. There's a party called Amistad, which is a really amazing party. Some friends of mine are two DJs and like event producers, and they just basically like bring the Latin community in LA together through like really amazing music.
Very cool.
Yeah, they usually have like a cool, like usually four DJs lined up in different locations in LA. They've done them at Hotel Fig in downtown. They've done them at like Soho House and other locations around LA. But we're hoping to do something together. I did a little wine curation for them at their last event in November. So we want to do another one, but dates are all still kind of in the works.
Okay.
So follow me on Instagram. Know.
Yeah. We follow on Instagram and TikTok.
And TikTok, and also my newsletter.
Okay. Yeah. Let's go ahead and hear the handles. Yeah. And,
well, I make it really easy for everyone. Across the board, the handle is Mas Vino Please.
Including your newsletter?
Including my newsletter. It's on Substack, and it's Mas Vino Please, the newsletter.
So love considerate.
It. I love it.
I make it easy. One thing to remember.
Yeah.
All right. That's exciting. Yeah. But you've also done some more permanent collabs, right? Because I believe tonight we're going to try your second vintage collaboration.
Yes.
So tell us about the first and then the second.
So this is a project that is really exciting and means a lot to me. It is a wine collaboration with my friends Wonderwork. Wonderwork is a duo here based here in LA that are making some really, to me, really incredible and experiential wines. And we started this, our first collab was last year. We did the first vintage was called Como la Flor, and it was a red wine infused with rose geranium. So it had this like really beautiful rosy, it's actually technically an aromatized wine.
Ooh, what does that mean?
Okay, yeah. So an aromatized wine is a wine that is then blended with some form of botanical. Okay. So in our case, we made a tincture out of rose geranium using another very light-bodied wine, and then using very scientific methods that I don't have the device, but Andy, Andy is a scientist, the winemaker, and so he was able to like create the perfect blend where it wasn't. We kind of did like a bunch of trials so that we could see like, oh, this is too rosy, this is not enough rose, and so we made this. It's basically wine and the tincture blended together to make an aromatized wine. So you really get that those like aromatics on the nose, like. Right when you smell it, you're like, whoa, yeah, rose geranium. And then you taste it and you're like, oh, but there's like so much more than just the rose. It's not like perfumey. You've got like layers of different notes from the base wine, the original wine.
And then right before you swallow, you hear Selena come in.
Yes.
Como la flor.
Exactly. Yeah. So yes, and Como la flor, it's inspired, of course, by Selena, our queen. I love her so much. But also by my grandma. My grandma Blanca. She was the matriarch of our family. Roses are like a really important part of our family. That was kind of a small ode to her. She also loved red wine. She was a wine queen. That was a hit and it was a success and we were really happy with it. So we launched the second vintage of it. And then we also released a second wine, a little sister wine, if you will, with Como la Flor called Chismosa. It is a dark rosé. It kind of hovers between like a red and a dark, or like a light red, dark rosé. It's a Gewurztraminer. It's a Pinot Gris. And then it's also a carbonic Montepulciano.
Ooh.
Yes, really delicious.
And
infused with the rose geranium as well. So it's also a sparkling wine.
So infused with the same botanical tincture? Did you guys play around with that at all?
It's the same. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. No, do it.
Since it was in the...
You just gotta come
there
in.
We go. Okay. Yeah. We're good. Oh, nothing to worry.
It's a beautiful color. Gonna... Cheers.
I'm like halfway chugged.
Little wine term. Frizzante is like a sparkling wine that doesn't have like as intense of bubbles compared to like a sparkling wine or like an espumante, which would be like a little bit more fizz. I would say that this is more frizzante vibes.
Oh, you know, I did not know that referred to levels. I thought they were just like, you know, fun thesaurus words.
Oh yeah, well in at least in wine the frizzante is
softer.
Softer, like sparkle but not like fizz.
And then is spumante above sparkle or just a type of sparkle?
I have to double check. I think it's above. Here's me being the non-somm and not knowing. But like, yeah, I think I'm pretty sure it's more.
I think it's interesting enough just that we know it's leftovers.
Yeah. And also the temperature, I think, also affects. So this is very cold, which is great because that means it's not going to be as active. If a wine is warmer, like if you have a sparkling wine or like a Pet Nat that is not cold enough, it might disgorge or like might like be like overly.
Or you might buy 4 bottles of your favorite Pet Nat and then drive the I-5 in the middle of summer.
Oh no.
And think there are gunshots in your
trunk. Oh gosh, they went off too hot?
They got too hot, but I wasn't about to waste them, so just had some drinks on the side of the highway.
That's really scary. Oh my gosh. Yeah, so Chismosa. So it's out now. And well, it's actually sold out online.
Ooh! But she gone.
But we're going to put it in some stores for the.
So where online could people order it when it gets restocked?
Through Wonderworks website.
And what stores are you looking to partner with?
It depends on distribution for sure, because they have to work through their distributors.
Of course. Stay tuned.
I want shops that are like small and local. I want them to be dispersed around LA or beyond, of course.
So when people invite you places, do they always expect you to bring wine?
I think so.
There's a bit of a sigh there, yeah. So please.
But what would you rather bring?
Yeah, exactly.
Of wine? You're like, oh man, that's like, it feels like a cop-out. I should probably bring X.
Well, okay. I really, like, want to drink a good wine. And there's some people I know I can trust that will totally have great wine at their dinner party. And there's other people that I'm like, I should just bring a wine because otherwise I'm going to be disappointed. Good thing I brought two.
You're happy to bring the thing that everyone expects you to bring.
Sometimes. Sometimes I'm like, I wish you would just, like, know the vibe. You know, I sound like such an asshole.
No, I think the real secret asshole thought there that everyone has when you do bring something nice to something like that is, and then they're going to drink this first.
Oh my God. Let me tell you.
Never me.
Wait.
And I'm the only one who can.
No, literally. For me, it matters, but for someone else, it doesn't matter, you know? So, like, yeah. I have to, like, not have that expectation.
Yeah.
Everyone cares as much as I do. And that's fine. Oh, that's totally fine. Care about something else, you know?
Just care. That's all we ask, folks.
So, yeah, I do. I always bring wine whenever I go anywhere, just in case.
We've talked a lot about wine and food. I'm wondering who's the best cook you've ever known.
And is it Matt?
It's a tie close second. So, yes, Matt, to me, is one of the best cooks I have ever met. But it's, and I'm not just saying that because he's my fiancé, but also because he is, like, he's very creative in the kitchen. And, like, I love, the way he thinks of food and how he wants to use techniques that he's learned. He's also very highly skilled. He's worked in Michelin star restaurants for a really, really long time. And so he, like, has this level of skill that, like, most home cooks are just, like me, obviously, I'm not gonna have. And so he brings something really unique. But also, like, even though he can make really insane two Michelin star, like, not
don't
three.
Get it twisted.
Two.
He's still holding out for the Michelin department.
He's
to,
only
like,
worked in LA,
home
so it's only max 2 stars because he's only worked in LA. But yeah, but he, even though he has this like amazing like skill and he's very, very talented, he can make just like the best comfort food. And to me, like, obviously.
I mean, well, that's what chefs are really good at.
Yeah. So he's a great chef. He is great. But I would say like close second is definitely my grandpa, who's not a chef at all. But he's like, my grandpa's so chic. Like, he.
Love it.
No, I like. I'm just like, I can't, I feel like I.
Like, instantly pocket squares, feather in the hat. The
yeah,
storm
he's.
Scene.
No, like, he. I don't even know. He just, like, he has really impeccable taste, and that translates to his food and wine. And, like, he's never worked in, like, as far as I know, he's never worked in, like, a kitchen or, like, had any, like, chef background. But his knife cuts are insane. Like, I'm like, how did you just know? Like, everything he does is just, like, very, like, precise and elegant and, like, really well done. And then he'll just be like, oh, I have this, like, pork belly. Do you want some for dinner? And then it's just, like, this gorgeous, like, little piece of pork belly that he serves me. And I'm like, yes. Delicious. Thank you,
touched.
Grandpa. Thank you. But, yeah, anyway, he's a great cook. And anytime I, like, go to visit him, he's always, like, cooking something really amazing and bringing our whole family around the table. So that's really special to me.
How did you meet Matt?
Oh my gosh. We went to high school together.
Yeah, where do I get a Matt?
Is he working around town still, or?
He's a private chef now. Mm-hmm. Very nice. Yeah, now he's a private chef. Like, life is so weird. We did not date or even really know each other in high school. But 10 years later, we both came back to LA. He was in Seattle and I was in Columbia. And we both came back to LA at the same time. Ended up in the same bar, like, so random.
Was he in your class?
He was a year younger than me. Oh. Yeah, we had, like, mutual friends and, like, friends that overlapped and stuff, but we didn't really know each other. And I remember I was outside and I was, like, smoking a cig and he came outside and I was like, do you want a cat? And he was like, no. And
not a cat dog, a literal cat.
No, a literal
and she
cat.
She had a better question in her mind, but that's, like, what came out. You're like,
or was this a pickup line?
No, she's like, well, no, I had, like, 7 cats that I was trying to find homes for that my neighbor had, like, she was looking to rehome these kittens, and so I was, like, desperately looking. I was so attached to them, and I was, like, desperately trying to find homes. Like, do you want a cat? And he's like, no. Funny story is that now, 5 years later, one of those cats is his. Yeah, he said no, but he still ended up with it. Yeah, and then whatever, we made small talk about cat, and then there was a Vespa parked outside, and I was like, oh my god, that Vespa's so cute, and it was, like, this cute powder blue, and he's like, that's mine.
And then he stole the Vespa for you.
No, he was, like, embarrassed because he didn't have a car, and he was like, that was, like, his, and I was like, oh my god, that's so cool, and he was like, what? He was like, I just don't have a car. And I was like, no, I love it, like, let's go for a ride. Yeah, and then, like, a couple, we actually, like, that was it, and then we never, like, hung out or anything, and then 3 months later, we re-met, like, out again. We ran into each other. And then after that, the rest is history. And now he has 2 cats. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, I was wondering if the cat adoption stayed steady or if you switched to another animal. Like, you had 4 giraffes to rehouse.
Cats for life. But now he has 2, and he's very happy with them.
Aw, well, congratulations. Thanks. Very excited for you.
Thank you.
Are we ready for
I think we're ready for rapid fire.
Oh, there's a rapid fire?
Rapid fire.
Here
are the rules.
Okay, yeah, tell me. What are the rules? Oh, my gosh.
Rapid fire question. We are going to launch off, like, 7 questions at you. The first thing that comes to your mind.
Okay.
You don't have to go in depth. You just have to answer.
Yeah, okay. 1 word or 2, or but 2. No justification.
Yeah, no paragraphs.
Okay. Oh, my God. This is pressure. Got it.
Are you ready?
Yes. All right.
What is your favorite thing to eat right now?
Oh, spring rolls. Tofu spring rolls specifically.
Favorite kitchen utensil?
A really good large rubber spatula.
Across the board. What ingredient is overrated?
Truffles.
What are you listening to right now?
Lauren Graham's memoir. So good. Mm-hmm. Gilmore Girls fans will know.
You're going to a potluck. What are you bringing?
Ooh, potato salad with some, like, a few jammy boiled eggs.
Ooh.
Tossed in. It's my favorite.
Best grocery store hot bar.
Ooh, that's so hard. Air One?
No. No, because she should be ashamed of that.
I don't know. Yeah, maybe. I used to. No paragraphs.
No justification. She said Air One, people. And
finally, Air the One? Best natty wine for beginners.
Como la Flor. No, I'm just kidding.
Or Chismosa.
Or Chismosa. Wait, that's hard. Don't know. My intro was Brock Sellers. I think anything from Brock Sellers is a great intro to natty wine.
All right. Well, Andrea, thank you for joining us on Kitchen Tape.
It was great having you.
Thank you so much. I had so much fun.
So did we. It was great to learn about your story and your approach to wine.
Thank you for having me.
And we can't wait for hot dogs in the summer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Buns and Vino 3.0.
I'm here for the hot cats, guys.
3.0.
Thanks for joining us again. And remember,
as always,
eat cute,
be cute.
Thank you for joining us this week on Kitchen Tape. Our theme music is created by Dan Crabtree. You can subscribe on Spotify and Apple to be notified when we release new episodes every other Tuesday. If you enjoyed this week's episode, we'd love it if you left us a review. If you'd like to be a guest on a future episode, contact us on social media. You can reach Rose at TRoseWild and Cassie at IBakeMistakes or email us at KitchenTapePod@gmail.com. Catch you next time on Kitchen Tape Podcast.